Now, we have the anointing here in chapter 10 of this man Saul. And I begin reading at verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil, poured it upon his head, and kissed him, and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Now he is anointed to be king. And let's follow down now and see how he's going to move. Verse 2, When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found. Lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Now the boy is lost, as far as the father is concerned. But now Samuel had anointed him, and this was near, all of this took place near the tomb of Rachel, which is in the tribe of Benjamin, which is at Bethlehem, by the way, which is also quite interesting. Now, will you notice that all of this took place? And we come down now to verse 5. We find that this man is moving back home now. This is Saul. And I'm reading, And after that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psalter and tablet and pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And now let me read this strange verse, And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. And thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. Now again, I have a question. Was Saul converted? Is this verse the proof of it? Well, for sure it's not a final proof. And I do not believe he was converted. And somebody's going to say, well, you certainly are starting out very much prejudiced against Saul. Well, I'll tell you why. It's not because of what we've gone over. It's what's coming that makes me believe that this man is not genuine, certainly not genuinely converted at all. Now, someone is going to say, but the Spirit of God came upon him, and he was a different man. Doesn't say he's a new man. And after all, didn't the Spirit of God come upon Balaam? And we find that God several times has used men that we're convinced are not converted. How about Judas? He sent the 12 out. We're told all of them perform miracles. Did Judas perform miracles? Certainly he did. And I do not think you'd claim Judas to be converted. So let's withhold maybe a final decision, although I seem to have already made one. But I'm definitely prejudiced against the man, I must say. Now let's move on down. And we're told here, as we move on into this area, verse 9, it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. This man now leaves Samuel, and when he does, do you notice how the Scripture says when he turned his back to go from Samuel? I think when Samuel looked at him and said, My, he's a fine fellow, and even the prophet of God could be wrong. Nathan was wrong, as we shall see later on, when he told David to build God a house. God had to intervene there and tell Nathan to go back and correct himself. David's not even about to build God a house. And here, Samuel, as he looks at this man Saul, when he turned his back, my, he would have been able to play in the line of any professional football team. He was a great, big, husky, fine-looking fella, but he was no king at all. Now we're told here that when he began to prophesy, the things he said came to pass. Now we have in verse 11, the word went out, is Saul also among the prophets? You see, here he is, and definitely God is giving him an opportunity. God never withheld anything from him. Now we find, as we move on, I'll drop down now to verse 16, and Saul said unto his uncle, He told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the matter of the kingdom, whereof Samuel spake, he told him not. Now Saul kept quiet about that. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah. And he said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all kingdoms and of them that oppress you, and ye have this day rejected your God. Now when they asked for a king and took Saul, it meant they were turning their back upon God. That is the thing that we need to note here very definitely. The reception of Saul as king was the rejection of God. Now I want to drop down even a little bit farther here. Verse 22, therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the staff. And when Samuel was going to bring Saul out to introduce him to the crowd, this fellow Saul, great big fellow that he was, is like a little baby, a little child who runs and hides himself, and they've got to go find him to bring him out. I say again, this is an evidence of a false modesty. The anointing oil has been poured upon him. And if he is given an opportunity to be a king and to serve God, then let him step out in the open and act like a king. And then this is the first time the cry was uttered when they found him and brought him out. Verse 24, God save the king, and God save the people also. Verse 25, then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, wrote it in a book, laid it up before the Lord, and Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And we believe on the basis of this, Samuel wrote the first part of 1 Samuel.